This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas, powered by U Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoning and this is The Breakfast Grill. Malaysia has had seven prime ministers from UMNO since the country gained independence in 1957, and three of them have been youth chiefs before taking on this post. So is this role a stepping stone to bigger things in a party that most pundits expect to win at the next general elections? We speak to Dr. Ashraf Wajdi Dusuki, the current youth chief at UMNO, a post he has held since 2018. Now, thank you for coming on The Breakfast Grill again, Doc. So let's start with what's on everyone's mind. When is GE15?
Oh, it's a very interesting question. If I'm the Prime Minister, I'll call it now.
Now. So yeah, because your stance on this is well known. So why would you like elections now before the floods? Why the urgency, Dr. Ashraf?
Xiaoning, if you notice, UMNO, in particular the youth wing, have been very consistent. Ever since the change of government in February 2020, we have been demanding and we have been saying that we cannot allow for a government to maintain as it is. Because at that time, if you remember, we have to compromise with the situation of pandemic and so on and so forth. But we have been consistently saying that we need a real mandate from the people. Youth, I mean, in my speech, I've been saying that we cannot allow for backdoor government. And in fact, the opposition also said that this is not the government that is getting the mandate from the people. So we have to be very truthful to ourselves.
But aren't you part of the government? That's the thing, right? UMNO is part of the government.
Of course, but we only contributed about 34% of the government. And we are not this is not a solid government. It's a compromise government. It's a hybrid government.
Yes.
Where we have various parties inside. And not only that, interestingly and ironically, the parties within this government is actually having a clear roadmap that if there is a general election, we are competing with each other. So what do you expect? A government that having within the government, we have parties who are competing with each other and keep on threatening to push buttons and so on.
Okay, but if I rewind back to Lanka Sheraton, right, which ended the reign of the Pakatan Harapan government, some would say that UMNO in the first place is responsible for the instability that we have had to endure and the subsequent changes of the government from that onset already.
Let's have the facts right in terms of who actually... what makes the government collapse at that time?
Yes.
When the Prime Minister, resigned. Dr. Mahathir resigned.
Okay.
The whole government collapsed. And when the government collapsed, just to recall, what was the position of the UMNO at that time, Barisan Nasional? Mm. We have made a very clear stand that we have to call for elections and we have to give back the mandate to the people, because whoever becomes the government, it will not be a stable government because it's not a mandated government. But at that time, we were advised by the rulers. Remember, rulers have been convening a meeting at that time and saying that we have to... have a compromise government because of the pandemic issues. And we were at the beginning of the pandemic. And of course, later, when we decided to have an election, that was at the peak of pandemic. Again, we have been saying that when the pandemic is over, then we have to call for election. And remember when Ismail Sabri, Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri, was made a prime minister. Mm. The Supreme Council meeting at that time had outlined what are the roadmap for the prime minister. And one of the pre-requirement that if the pandemic is over, then we have to call for election because we have to give back the mandate to the people.
All right, but is this view really shared by all in the party, especially the Prime Minister, Dato Sri Ismail Sabri? I mean, he was just quoted by Bernama just a few days ago that he has yet to decide when to dissolve Parliament. And if that's really truly the case where UMNO Supreme Council members want it, why is he dragging his feet on this matter then?
Of course, in terms of the date, we let the Prime Minister to decide. But so far, the Supreme Council have made it very clear that we have to have the election this year. We have to have election as soon as possible. Not because we are lust for power, but we have been made very clear that we have to have a fresh mandate from the people.
So then why hasn't Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri made that critical announcement to dissolve Parliament? What's holding him back? Because, you know, it is the first time in UMNO's history where the head of the government and the head of the party are two different people. So is UMNO being pulled in different directions and divided?
So far, I don't think so. That's why I said we'll just wait and see. I mean, the Prime Minister now is in US. He's just arriving. He has arrived at Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully,
and he's back this weekend for a critical meeting,
he's
right?
He's coming to the meeting. That's why we postponed. Many people have been speculating why we were postponing our meeting. But
this is the UMNO monthly meeting, right?
Yes, it's a normal monthly meeting. But of course, we have already decided that the specific dates, let the President and the Prime Minister to discuss and to decide.
So do we have any indication whether they have come to some consensus?
I believe so, yes.
So can we expect an announcement after this critical meeting this Friday?
Definitely, it's not for me to, to speculate anything. But most importantly, I believe the Prime Minister definitely would condone to whatever has been agreed by the party.
Okay, so there is no division, is there, between the party? Because sometimes we get the sense that UMNO is somewhat divided. And you have also made some comments in the press with regards to, you know, very cryptic messages about generals going out to sea and then having to come back. I just want to know, because there is always this talk about court cluster, minister cluster. Is UMNO beyond repair, though, then?
I have been mentioning many times, don't allow other people to orchestrate what the party should be. And of course, we have a lot of differences in terms of views, opinions, and it's normal in politics. And if you look at the history of UMNO, ever since we were established until today, we were not free from any differences and even the crisis. But what is important is that so far, we don't have serious differences that would bring the party to a crisis. Because at the moment, we can see that we are very solid and everyone at the end of the day, if we already know that we are already going to war, then I'm sure that everyone will come to the party line.
Okay. We will watch this space. We will wait and see. But Dato', let's move on to some of the campaign issues that UMNO will be championing in GE15. Repeatedly, we keep hearing that UMNO says, vote us in because, we provide stability. But don't Malaysians need more than that?
Of course, stability is one of the most important ingredients for the country to prosper and for the people as well.
Yes.
If you can see what happened in the Malacca and Johor. Immediately, you can see Johor from number 5th in terms of foreign investment. Now it has ranked the first. Why? Because
isn't that just natural recovery post-pandemic, though?
No, because most importantly, when we talk about stability, that is one of the prerequisites for any investors, industry players, the participants, investors, be it domestic or foreign. Mm-hmm. Of course, the two keywords, trust and confidence. Where this trust and confidence comes from? Definitely from the stability, because this is the very fundamental that has brought this country to what we have achieved prior to GE14. And of course, due to the pandemic and due to the continuous political bickering within the countries. And this does not help in terms of giving, the strong signal to the market participant, to the investors, that we need to stabilise this nation.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Youth Chief of UMNO, Dr. Ashraf Wajdi Dusuki. When we come back from the break, we rate UMNO's chances at GE15, and is this a party that reforms and rejects corruption? BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to the Breakfast Grill. In the hot seat this morning is Youth Chief of UMNO, Dato' Ashraf Wajdi Dusuki. Before the break, his best guess as to when GE15 will take place, which he didn't answer very clearly. but Dr. Ashraf, I want to go back to the campaign issues, right? So you mentioned stability there. But we're also seeing really severe cost of living pressures, an unsustainable debt level of 1 trillion, wages that are too low with a median wage of just close to 4,000 ringgit. And I could just go on and on.
And don't forget underemployment.
Yes, underemployment.
Not unemployment alone, exactly. But underemployment is something which we have to think very seriously.
Now, some of these are structural issues, which I would have to admit, UMNO contributed to, because you were in government. I mean, running the government for most of the time Malaysia achieved its independence. So do you, as a party, have solutions for this? Or are you all just going to continue to take that populist route and try and please everyone?
No, we have never taken the populist approach. And that's why, if you look at whenever we approach to general election, our manifestos are very practical, not only pragmatic, not just simply try to appeal based on populism.
Are you sure? Because we're still, for example, we're still continuing with this subsidy bill, right?
No, where subsidies,
it's like 80 billion now, correct. And we can't afford it.
Not only that, if we, for example, tariff, there will be an increase in subsidies if we allow for tariff to continue for next year. So these are the things that we have to look at, the fundamentals of this country's economy. But more importantly, a lot of populist approach taken by PH government before has actually severely affected the structure of this country's economy.
But they
economy.
Were only running
example,
the country for 2 years,
no,
though.
No, for example, when they actually elevate the GST, we have a loophole in our economic's revenue for nearly 30 billion. And this loophole further, deepening due to the lot of policies that they have introduced, which was not really appealing to the investors.
So will you be reintroducing GST if you do win GE15?
No, there are a lot of other things that we have to put in place.
Okay.
Because the fundamentals of this country's economy is not just about the revenue-based, but there are a lot of other policies, people-centric policies. We have been talking about need-based economy. We have started that. If you notice, the introduction of B40, M40, T20. And what does that mean? It means that we are not addressing the people's need just merely based on their race, on their colour, on our differences. But we are looking at the reality of the people based on the income stream level, based on their, if they are B40, regardless of their races, we have to help them. We have to address their concern. M40 now is also a group that we have to take into account seriously. During the pandemic, these are the most affected group, because they're the support system for this group of people is not really
sufficient
compared to the B40.
Okay.
These are the things that we have to look into.
Okay, so related to this then, Dr. Ashraf, is our NEP, which we've had in place since 1971. Do you think, and I don't think anyone questions the aims of it, which are very noble, which is poverty reduction and social restructuring. But do you think then it's time to also remove this, because this is very much race-based policy?
NEP has long over.
But we still practice some elements of it.
NEP and it was introduced in 1971.
Yes.
And in 1981, it's completed.
No, but some elements of it still exist.
Yes, but we have actually moved to, for example, in education, we have started to introduce merit-based policy rather than the race-based policy. Economic, as I mentioned earlier.
What about the existence of things like APs? They still continue, right?
And that now
will
we
they
have
be
seen,
removed completely?
For me, why not? And if you are looking at people-centric and need-based,
let's say about equity markets as well. You know, you still have this boomy share requirement. Will all that be
of
removed?
Course,
is that what you want?
Not drastically. We have whatever we want to make a change. I always believe that it has to be done gradually, and there will come a time when we have to recognize the fact that we are all Malaysia, regardless of races, regardless of religion. We have to embrace multiracial and multiculturalism. And most importantly, to instill the trust within our community, put away our prejudices among each other. And this is something which we have to move forward. And in doing that, we have to be truthful to ourselves by educating our young generation, starting from the education system. We have to, bring and develop a new generation that have this kind of level of tolerance.
Okay.
For example,
is this a message that is also understood and welcomed by all your UMNO fellow brothers, though?
Of course.
And members?
Yes, because, Barisan Nasional have been practicing this. And that's why we have this stability in place within the party, as well as ensuring that the stability further promoted for our nation. That's why for the past 60 over years, since our independence, we have seen that Malaysia can live in peace and harmony, regardless of races and religion. But it started to deteriorate and eroding after the GE14.
No, I'm sure, actually, to be honest, Dr. Ashraf, the erosion happened before GE14. Rhetoric in terms of race and religion became louder and louder with each passing elections, right? So are we going to say that the days of UMNO youth leaders waving the kris in the air at UMNO
Have you seen me
over?
Waving kris?
No, to be fair, not you. But are those days over?
No, so if you look at my speeches, have I been talking on the issues of race and religions a lot? No. We have been very practical. And I've been saying aloud that we have to develop a new generation. A new generation that embrace multiculturalism. But at the heart of it, we have to realize the very fundamental fact of our constitution that Islam, the rights of Bumiputera Malay, cannot be touched. That is a fundamental. But the core of it, even though it is Islam and Bumiputera, but we are living in multiracial and multi-religious country. That the most important thing, how to instill and educate our generation the sense of tolerance, the sense of living with each other.
Okay, we certainly hope this message is also going to be preached by the rest of UMNO. But Dato, I want to move on to the fight for five.
I mean, I'm very practical. For example, people were questioning me why I was sending my children, one of them, to Chinese school. My answer is simple. Man, I have six children, and three of them in the national stream, two was in the Chinese school, and one in the the religious school.
Okay,
but when I was brought up in Petaling Jaya, I have my, classmate of various races. And we played together. And I remember if in the evening I came back from school, I would go to one of my Chinese friends, and the family would, invite me and understand the sensitivities. For example, there's a separate plate for me to eat.
Yes.
In those. Why? Because understanding the sensitivities.
Okay.
But now, when I came back from UK after my PhD, send my children to national school. Unfortunately, you can't see. There is a good mix of races. That's why I feel like this is wrong. How would my children would appreciate Chinese and Indian friends while they are still at this primary school level?
Yeah,
so these are the things which I feel that we have to correct the whole system.
Yes, but the sense system that got to where it is partially because of many, many years of messaging that wasn't actually...
No, these are the things that we have to rectify.
Okay, if and you're going to be the one to make...
Of
to
course,
help
we have to be
path.
Very truthful to ourselves. If we love this nation, if we embrace the concept of multiracial, multiculturalism, then we have to start by, looking at our education system, whether we have that system would nurture and educate our young generation to have this kind of level of understanding and tolerance with each other.
Yeah, the issue then is that if you look at the leadership in UMNO, right, whether they have that same reform agenda that you have, Dato, do you then think that the leaders in UMNO need to be replaced, that we need to have younger people with the same mindset that you have to actually come through up the ranks?
Alhamdulillah, we have seen that the change has taken place.
Okay.
Look at what happened.
Will we see that in terms of the candidates at GE15?
Of course, I strongly believe because this is the promise of the leadership, and we have seen in Malacca and Johor. In Malacca, for example, 87% are new faces. In Johor, 79% are in new faces. And I'm proud to say that,
and that
during
will be repeated
my time,
at GE15.
During my time, we already have 13 Pemuda candidates and representatives, and out of which 8 were appointed as exco members at the state's level. And this is something which has not happened before. And I believe, and I strongly believe, that the leadership would continue with this progressive change.
On a special extended breakfast grill is Youth Chief of UMNO, Dr. Ashraf Wajidi Yusuki. When we come back from the 8:30 a.m. news bulletin, what will UMNO champion and can it appeal to 5.8 million new voters? Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to a special extended breakfast grill where in the hot seat this morning is Youth Chief of UMNO, Dr. Ashraf Wajidi Dusuki. Before the 8:30 a.m. news bulletin, can UMNO move away from its race and religious-based policies? Now, Dr. Ashraf, I want to ask you whether you think UMNO has learned the lessons that led to the defeat of it in GE14 and be this clean, corrupt-free government that, if it wins GE15. Because, even in today's headlines, we see issues like the littoral combat ships, Felda, ECRL, still brewing, and all these were done during the time when UMNO was in government.
Yeah, I think lesson learned. What we have faced during the last GE14 really put our mind together that we need to revamp and reform the party. We have to offer to the people that we are ready to serve them better with a lot of other reform agenda. And of course, I'm talking from the perspective of the young generation of UMNO. We could see that a lot of, as we have been showing the proof in Malacca and Johor, that the young leaders that was brought to the as a candidates of the party in the election showed that we are committed to transform this party.
That's great, Dr. Ashraf. But does that mean that UMNO will then distance itself from leaders which have been tainted and some even convicted, like Dato' Sri Najib, at the highest court of the land for corruption? Is UMNO moving away from leaders like this?
No, we have always consistent in saying that we respect our judicial system.
Yes.
innocent until proven guilty.
Okay, for one,
justice
which is...
must not only be seen, but must be seen to be done.
For sure.
Of course, I mean, what happened to our leaders? The sympathy is always there. But at the end of the day, UMNO is not just about one or two particular personalities. And more importantly, that UMNO have to move on. That we have to see a bigger picture. That the whole, I mean, the agenda for the people must be continuously, I mean, the strived for the sake of the party and the country.
Dr. Ashraf, does this mean that you don't support Datuk Sri Najib Razak? That you are, because you consider him at one time the mentor?
Yes, of course. Yes. That's why, I mean...
And that the party should not be associated with a convicted leader, which has been convicted, like I say, at the highest court of in Malaysia.
No, we, as I mentioned, we respect the judiciary system. But,
yes.
And of course, we also express our disappointment when the... I mean, he was not given the ample time for...
I think that's what many people disagree with, right? Because the case had been going on for many, many years, and I think his defense to be like delaying a lot of tactics, right?
Not that was the first time he was asking for postponement because of the change of lawyers. But what is 2 months or 2 weeks? If you already
have... Because
the
case had been going on for more than, 4 years, 5 years? So I think the defense
and the case of Anwar Ibrahim?
I'm not
going to
compare Anwar at the moment, but the point is many feel that the federal court had made their decision.
Yeah.
So do you not think that that UMNO as a party should distance itself? Because conviction is a conviction,
right?
No,
we have already moved away.
And what about Dato' Sri Zahid?
And not only that, I mean, we are not like any other parties that... If we want to mobilize our party members, 3.4 million, of course, it will create the disaster of this country. But what...
Was that something that you're considered?
Definitely no. Have you seen that UMNO have been mobilizing their people to the street? Even on the day when Datuk Sri Najib was convicted, we were not having any mass gathering.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But a week after, we had within our... premise.
Okay.
And that is something which is normal to express our sympathy and to express our disappointment within our family members. But more importantly...
So you don't think that he is guilty of the charges, is it?
As I mentioned to you, okay, the court process has already completed.
Yes. So and he is guilty?
He has already... I mean, been convicted. He has already been convicted.
Yeah, and your view, he's guilty?
We have to allow for, if he wants to appeal, I mean, to have a judicial review and
yes.
so on. Okay, now the most important thing, let us move on.
Okay.
Moving on means that, okay, we have to look at what are the bigger picture, bigger issues, concerns the rakyat at the moment. And that's why we as, at the UMNO leaders, at the UMNO Supreme Council, we have been very, consistent in our approach for the people.
But you didn't answer me, Dr. Ashraf. Do you think he is guilty?
He's already found guilty.
Do you think he's guilty?
For me?
Yes. Yes, and that's what
for
counts.
For me, I feel that he should be given the opportunity.
No, yes or no, is he guilty?
For me, I have to respect the judiciary system.
Which means he is guilty.
I have my own reservation to that.
Okay. And would you have the same view if Datuk Sri Zahid is also convicted by the highest court of the land? Or are you still going to support the current president of UMNO?
UMNO has proven itself. Mm. Whenever the leaders has been convicted, we never, play the way how other parties have been playing. And we respect the judicial system. And we have to move on.
Okay. So let's talk about UMNO's chances at GE15. Do you think you'll be able to form the next government? There are 222 seats up for grabs. Confident that Barisan Nasional can win 111 seats or and slightly more?
Inshallah, I think I'm very optimistic. We have been, we have completed our tour to all the 13 states except for Sarawak. We have been... having thorough discussion with all our 181 divisions.
Okay.
And we have been very focused on our targeted seats.
Yes. So the seat allocation talks have all been done?
Yes, I would say 90% have already completed. We have only 10% to settle and iron out in terms of the disputed areas. But that is not so serious.
Okay, and is Dato Sri Ismail Sabri going to be Prime Minister if Barisan Nasional wins GE15?
That was what the party has made the decision and made it very
because
clear.
Because there is supposed to be, after 6 months of GE15, it's the much delayed party elections, right?
There is more of our concern to make sure the party entering into general election with a solid team.
And
we have experiencing many, many party election before.
But this is the first time where the president
most of the
is
time
not the
when
Prime
there
Minister.
Is when there is a party election, we will have some divisions and split. And we cannot afford to have a split party when we are going to face the election just a few months after that.
So, Dr. Ashraf,
and it has nothing to do with Dato Ismail Sabri to become the president or not.
Okay. And Dr. Ashraf, are you going to run in GE15? You've had two attempts in Kelantan. So this time round?
I would let the top leadership to decide. I'm a party man. Of course.
Would you like to run though?
Of course. As a UMNO youth chief, standing in the next general election is something which is very important for the youth as well. But as I mentioned, I'm a party man. I would allow the top leadership to decide.
And run in Kelantan or maybe a safer
again,
seat?
Again, as I mentioned, that is for the top leadership to decide.
Okay, and I'm going to ask all youth chiefs this same question. Would you like to be Prime Minister of Malaysia one day? Is that your political ambition?
My political ambition has always been to help the people. And
Chiefs are going to say that, but realistically?
But if you look at my history, I'm not coming from the normal channel of the party, from the branches to division. I was from academic, I was from Islamic banking industry, and I was appointed by the then Prime Minister and the President of the party to be in the Supreme Council.
Okay.
And then when the party lost in the last election, I decided to run for the number one of UMNO youth wing.
But if you were offered the post one day, Dr. Ashraf, would you say no?
Of course, if that is something which is destined by God, if it is something which could benefit the people, I would take that responsibility. But that is not the ultimate objective of my political reasoning why I'm here today.
On that note, thank you for your time today. And the Breakfast Grill was Dr. Ashraf Wajdi Dusuki, UMNO Youth Chief. I'm Wong Xiaoning, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, where unlimited potential begins.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.